This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's do a little football's finest here, Football Power Hour. We'll hit the Expressway commercial free coming up here in about 20 minutes, get you to LA Live, and then it's TD Tuesday, Rim Sesh, Fan After Dark, and we're home sweet home, boys and girls. 877-881-1053. Thanks for rocking with us here on a Christmas Eve TD Tuesday. Brian brought us the Super Bowl champion riding shotgun. I'm Eric Chiafalo. We got Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup holding it down. And Wolchuk and Dawson are on family vacation assignment. I say family vacation.
Family vacation
Wolchuk's
assignment.
Kicking his feet up on the ottoman watching a rerun of Wedding Crashers. That's how he's soaking in a Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. That movie still holds up. 10 out of 10.
It's one of the few movies I've actually seen.
Proud of you for
that. I enjoyed that. The Wedding Crashers was a good show.
All right, we got lots to get to here. What do you think? We have the ratings now for Saturday, when the college football playoff had to go toe-to-toe with the beast that is the National Football League.
I think we were like, what, 12, 14 million households?
For the NFL?
No, for the college football dudes.
That's what it was for the night game who had no competition. The Ohio State and Tennessee, that was the highest rated college football game of the day.
They got crushed, is that what you're about to tell me?
They didn't have any competition. SMU Penn State had competition. Because they kicked off
11 a.m.
And then you had a noon kick here locally between the Texans and the Chiefs. And the disparity was quite large.
Okay.
You had SMU Penn State averaging 6.4 million viewers.
Oops. Okay.
While Texans and Chiefs was going on, that game was averaging 15.5 million viewers. Wow. So they more than doubled up on the viewership for the Texans Chiefs compared to SMU Penn State. Now, part of that is because that game got out of hand pretty quickly, and the Texans and Chiefs game was, you know, close in the balance the whole time.
Sure.
So that's part of it, but NFL wins again. Then you get to Steelers and Ravens on Saturday, and that went toe-to-toe with Clemson and Texas, kicking off 30 minutes apart from each other. And Clemson, Texas averaged 8.6 million viewers. And you had Steelers-Ravens averaging 15.4 million viewers. So the NFL continues to clean up in a huge, huge way. And then they'll dunk all over the NBA tomorrow. That's just what's going to happen. And we'll see how Netflix handles things. Jerry Jones was like, no, Netflix will be fine. They had the test run with Paul versus Tyson.
Yeah.
Things crapped out on us. Now we get back to the drawing board and everything should be fine. We'll see. I got a feeling I'm going to see a lot of black screen with a little circle just spinning while I'm trying to watch Mahomes.
Yeah, I'd like to bring in our streaming expert, Lucius Alexander.
That's a lot.
And Lucius, is this thing going to be
You've been epic? Crowned, Lucius. Accept the crown.
Just get me a job.
Is this going to be an epic fail from what you think?
No. I think it'd be okay.
You don't think it's going to have a problem?
I don't think it'd have a problem. Whatever the kink was during that Tyson situation, I think they're going to get that together.
Yeah, hopefully the NFL is not going to be messing around with this. They'll, it's Netflix having to be buttoned up here. But
if Netflix wants to get this gig, this thing can't fail, can it?
Better, no, it definitely can't.
If it fails,
it needs to be a smooth operation.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking like if this thing fails, because then they're going to have folks that are just going to say, "No, we're not going to watch games on Netflix," and Netflix is going to lose out on. you know, they're going to lose out on that. So this is a big time. I think it's a big time gamble right now. Should it? I mean, am I saying that the right way? Is it a gamble that Netflix is not going to crap out?
I think it is a bit of a gamble. Now, they on their end might know that, hey, we know exactly what went wrong and we got it figured out and we're going to be fine. But me outside looking in, I'm like, yeah, this is a huge gamble because you don't mess around with NFL stuff. Not when it's standalone games, Christmas, all eyes on you. And if we're looking at a buffering signal for four quarters, that's going to be a disaster. Okay, a couple of clips here. We have some great football sounds of the day. I meant to get to this one yesterday because this one was interesting on Sunday. ESPN NFL countdown before the games kicked off. This is before we knew that the Eagles were going to be losing to the Commanders. But the point still stands nonetheless. Adam Schefter talking about, like, hey, if the Eagles' seed is locked in, playoff seeding is locked in by you, by the time you get to the final week of the season, week 18, the Eagles play the Giants for the final game of the year.
At the Meadowlands, it's in Philadelphia.
It's in Philadelphia.
I believe it's in Philadelphia.
So,
you know that for a fact?
Yeah, no, I don't know that for a fact. I'm not sure. But you obviously have the looming record-breaking situation with Saquon, as you noted, but there's another layer to this that'll be interesting. Eagles at home?
Eagles at home.
Okay, so week 18, Giants go to Philly. If the Eagles have their seed locked going into that game, listen to the way Adam Schefter paints this picture.
If the Eagles' seed is in hand and there's nothing at stake, I would say they would not want to get Saquon the record because you know what? They'd want to sit down, rest their players, and make sure that the Giants win that last game, so the Giants then fall from 1 or 2 to 7 and don't get their quarterback of the future. So there's the hidden meaning.
Oh my goodness.
That's next level.
Okay, that is pretty next level stuff right there from Adam Schefter. It is a great observation and probably would have made things a little bit easier, I guess, if the Eagles would have just beaten the Commanders on Sunday. But the point still stands, if their seat is going to be locked after this week's games.
Why would the Giants even try and win that game then?
Well, like the Cowboys trying to win games. These guys don't care. The Raiders just won a game. Antonio Pierce is standing at the podium like, hey, dude, we're trying to win. We're not worried about draft stuff. We're not worried about anything. You know the guys on the sideline coaching the game.
You're right. And this could be like Lovie Smith. Like this could be his goodbye. This is
Brian Daboll. You guys going to fire me?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, enjoy the seventh pick instead of the number one overall.
I don't see the Giants winning that game. Even if
the Eagles aren't going to play most of their guys,
the Eagles backups could beat these guys.
They could. Yes. I don't think it's a shoe-in guarantee that the Giants win if the Eagles are kind of throwing the game.
New England, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas. Those are all the teams behind
the Giants.
Yeah.
We just saw the Raiders win. They were picking number one or number two. They win on Sunday, and now they're picking seventh.
Sixth. They're picking sixth.
Okay, well, that's how thin the margins are right now between who's who's picking number seven. It's all pretty neck and neck. It would be fun to watch the Eagles do that to the Giants and the Giants get a very misguided win, which of course is actually a loss because now you don't get Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be funny. I'm here for it. I'm excited about it.
I'm trying to think of who.
I hope it plays out this way.
I wonder who New England play. I wonder who these teams all play. I'll figure this out. Go ahead.
New England's, I know, got. I don't know anything. Let's go ahead and see what John Gruden knows. This is our guy. We always await on a Tuesday during the football season. Who's got John Gruden feeling nicey week 16? Take it away, Chucky.
I love speed. You can't coach it. I love speedy playmakers that can dominate the game. And I love rookies with no fear. Rookies that play just as good as anybody. It's got me feeling really nicey. Guys like Brock Bowers of the Las Vegas Raiders. 11 catches, 99 yards. He's the first tight end to ever catch 100 catches as a rookie. He's awesome. Guys like Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders. He throws two early picks. It doesn't faze him. He throws for 259 yards, five touchdowns, and they shred the Philadelphia Eagles. Speedy receivers like Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings. 10 catches, 144 yards, and two touchdowns. When you need a touchdown late, who you gonna call? Justin Jefferson, baby! Speedy halfbacks like Devon Achane of the Miami Dolphins. 17 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown against the 49ers. Six catches for 70. I haven't seen speed like this coming out of the backfield since Tony Dorsett. Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts. 29 carries, 218 yards in a win against the Titans.
Got me feeling nice.
He looked like a Formula One Indianapolis 500 race car.
There it is, week 16, John Gruden in all its glory.
I got to coach John up about there's a difference between the Formula One and Indy cars. There's a difference. He just got to combine
them.
He kind of meshed him a little bit.
It was honoring Christmas and Hanukkah collision course for December 25th this year.
John. He brought us with the, well, actually.
Yeah, he's watchdogging. Well, that was great content. That's Emmy Award winning content creation.
I get what you're doing.
I'm like, hey, you know what? If you're going to talk Formula One or Indy car, there's a difference.
Get it right, John.
Get it right, John.
Be detail oriented.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I mean, this guy he continues to just outdo himself week in, week out. Speed does kill. You can't coach it. He loves it. And he was on one of Barstool's podcasts. I think it was Pardon My Take. And he actually had a nice little story about recently being at a Chicago steakhouse.
I was in Chicago last night having dinner. And one of the waiters, I was at a really nice restaurant. And a waiter came up and says, "How do you like that steak, Mr. Gruden?" I said, "Pretty good." He goes, "Does it have you feeling nice?" "Yeah, it does."
Hey, man, this is, he's a football icon right now.
Yeah.
And
needs to get his Formula One stuff right.
I'm thinking he might need to end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a broadcaster or as a content creator. Maybe there's a new wing.
New wing?
He's been
a coach. He's been a commentator. He was for Monday Night Football for a long time.
No, the Monday Night Football stuff, yeah. I mean, that speaks for itself. Yeah. He's certainly not an NFL coach Hall of Famer. Mm. We can't give him that.
He's a Super Bowl winner.
He is a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is John Fox.
That's true.
Didn't he win with the Broncos?
Yeah. He did.
And Peyton got carried that year.
Yeah, both got carried that year.
All right, so let's go ahead and take you around the NFL in a couple of other ways here. Football's finest.
John Fox.
Yeah, John Fox. Right, I was just trying to pull out a mediocre Super Bowl winner.
That was another blindsider there.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Congrats to the Saints last night, becoming the first team this season to be shut out. A true disgusting performance. It didn't matter that they tried to go into the freezer. The industrial cafeteria freezer.
That just makes your point not even to try.
No, because they half-assed it. This quarterback's coach was trying to do the best he could with the resources he had, and the best he could do was get Rattler and the other crappy quarterbacks they have into a freezer to call plays together. That's not getting it done. That's not your billionaire owner stepping up and saying, "Hey, the entire team is going to be ready when we go into the frozen tundra. It doesn't matter because we have a full-size igloo that we can go practice in." So when a billionaire owner decides to step up in that way, we'll give him football guy of the week. Mm-hmm. You did have the Packers running back Josh Jacobs. He had another nice game. This rushing attack for the Packers is really no joke. And they're not even really that sneaky. They're just a legit awesome team. That division's really good. And the Lions, of course, get the headlines. The Vikings with only a couple of losses getting a lot of love. But the Packers really, really clicking at the right time. And that's not a team you want to see when it comes to the postseason. But Josh Jacobs, their running back, apparently spent over $100,000 on diamond chains.
They're nice.
For the offensive linemen. They all got just...
their numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Their numbers as...
diamond encrusted.
Yeah, and they look... my goodness. Yeah. Those are...
They don't look too big or gaudy. They look pretty, it looks like they don't seem real wide. Am I missing something? They look kind of small, like almost like pendant kind of things.
I don't think it's that small. I look at it like something that would kind of.
It's not like overwhelming.
No,
right?
It's not overwhelming. They're not going like Flavor Flav with it, yeah. But I think that'll fit kind of in the palm of your hand pretty nicely. So that's sharp right there. Shout out to Josh Jacobs for that one. I also want to acknowledge this here as we're about to talk about the NFL contenders coming up here in the Expressway and some of the Achilles heels that they have. But one of the things that the Chiefs have in their back pocket is not only, of course, Mr. Clutch Mahomes, but Chris Jones.
Yeah.
We know he's a monster beast on the interior. He gets double teamed 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Your best edge rushers in the NFL, like Micah Parsons, you're being double teamed less than 30% of the time.
Yeah.
So Chris Jones is getting double teamed at a crazy rate, and he still leads the league in pressures.
Him and the guy at the Giants get double teamed more than anybody. The defense.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence, I think, gets double teamed more than anybody in the league.
Yeah, I guess that's just, I mean, it felt like Oso was doubled more the other night than Micah.
He sure was. He was the
something about the interior, man. Interior pressure is just a nightmare.
It's easy to do. And it's, you know, it's easy to take the center and the guards and double, and it's a lot easier than taking tackles and do that. Well, the majority of these tackles will, if you look at the metrics after a game, like, you know, Terrence Steele will be single block in 78%, you know, 80% of the game.
It's easier to double on the interior.
Very easy. They just slide the center one way or another.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chris Jones is just dominating everyone. It doesn't matter. You double team him 70% of the time. He's still going to lead the league in quarterback pressures. Mm-hmm. That's going to help the Kansas City Chiefs. And they are obviously a Super Bowl contender. How many teams right now are true contenders for the Super Bowl? 877-881-1053. And what might their Achilles heel be? That's next year in the...
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Nation. Thanks to the on-time experts, we will be going commercial-free expressway style here to the top of the hour. We'll get you to LA Live here in about 15 minutes. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation on a Christmas Eve TD Tuesday. Who are the real Super Bowl contenders in the NFL right now? How many teams? Because I think there's usually only about 4 or 5. Might be more this year. The parity's real, especially in that NFC. 877-881-1053, segment brought to you by Ciroc Vodka, as well as Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And, we got another quarterback Christmas gift news circulating to the offensive linemen.
Mm.
We welcome in Mr. Unlimited to the proceedings. How did he do? Did he hold up his end of the bargain? We've seen what these quarterbacks have done.
Plungers from all his rooms in Denver.
That's true. He did have a record-setting number of bathrooms in his Denver mansion. Still no word on how many bathrooms he has in his Pittsburgh house.
Probably a little bit smaller than that.
Think it downsized, probably.
Probably downsized. Yeah.
Well, Russell Wilson, I see this from Adam Schefter on Christmas Eve, has handed out to his offensive line. They each got a $10,000 Airbnb gift card that can be used anywhere around the globe. That's a pretty nice start.
Very solid.
They also got a Louis Vuitton duffel bag in Steelers colors.
Okay, until you go to another team.
Sure. Then you re-gift it, perhaps.
Yeah, or then you sell it back to somebody on the team.
Also got custom-made Steelers Goodman brand shoes, which is Russell Wilson's premium men's clothing brand. I didn't know he had that.
Mm.
And then also a bottle of his wife Sierra's 10-to-1 rum. So he's being helped out.
Keeping it in the family.
His own brand, his wife's brand, but the Louis V bags, Steelers colors, and a 10K Airbnb gift card. I mean, you can do some damage with that.
Could you?
I would think 10K Airbnb.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, especially when the season's over, where you can use that to vacation, get a Airbnb in Cabo, and I got 10K. Come on.
Yeah, because this is all around the globe. You can go anywhere with this. And this is for his entire offensive line. There's probably two or three guys maybe that have made some bag, and it's like, okay, whatever, still cool. But for like some undrafted rookie deal kind of players, like you mentioned, this
offseason.
You're
bringing the whole family out.
Yeah, your offseason plans just completely changed. That's actually a really good gift right there. All right, let's take a look at the...
You think he thought of that? Sierra did. Or maybe it's management. Who did that?
Oh, yeah.
Russell management.
Yeah, with the assistant. He's probably got the assistant and wifey helping out there. Yeah, I don't imagine he was putting much thought into this. But that's fine. It's really not the thought that counts when you come correct with some cool stuff.
Facts.
So shout out to the assistants. Let's see. Yeah, 214, like 10K Airbnb. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's great, bro.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it is, if it's more costly around the globe comparatively to here in the United States or whatever, but 10K is going to get it done. Now, how many teams, as you look at it right now, are true Super Bowl contenders? True Super Bowl contenders that you feel like could actually win it, or at least, you know, getting to the game is enough. Because right now, when you look in the AFC, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, those are all surefire. If you told me that they were in the Super Bowl when we look ahead to New Orleans here in February, I'd say, sure, yes, there's real opportunity for all three of those teams. And then once you get into the NFC portion, obviously Detroit. Obviously,
who did you say get in the AFC? Because I'm sorry, I was looking at something real quick.
Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills are all three. Like you're not gonna be surprised.
No,
if they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
And then in the NFC, where I mean, you have just a lot of solid teams from the Lions, and the Lions would be the heavy favorite if it wasn't for all the injuries that they've suffered, especially defensively. That's the only reason why. Teams like the Eagles can really feel good about things, assuming the concussion status of Jalen Hurts doesn't get crazy on you. You have Minnesota with the way they're playing, and defensively some of the best in the league. And then we just talked about the Green Bay Packers, and they smashed the Saints last night, but they're on a really good run right now. And this is now 2 years in a row where Jordan Love has really cranked up his production level.
Three of the four reside in the NFC North. Three of my four of mine. I had Detroit, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Green Bay.
Right. So, yeah, the NFC North is crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the NFC North has got three of the four teams that I listed in the NFC, I thought of that could get to the Super Bowl. Three of them come out of the NFC North.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I don't trust the Rams. I mean, I'm just looking at potential division winner type people. Atlanta, Tampa, no, you know. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, sure. Those, Philadelphia, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you got four NFC teams that are truly, they could be Super Bowl teams. You wouldn't be surprised at all. Three in the AFC. So I think you got seven real contenders, and I feel like that's more than usual. And then you got the tier two, like you mentioned, the Rams, which, yes, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. Their defense is just not going to be good enough. But
the number one tier team for me, and this is going to be, I think I might be wrong about this, but I think Washington would be that for me. Washington would be the first tier two team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's
then Washington, Rams. I know it's a rookie quarterback situation, all that, but I think the Commanders, they present some problems for you offensively. Defensively, it's a struggle for them, but offensively, they can put up a bunch of points and, you know, they can. Their quarterbacks run around, make plays. That would be a good tier two team for me.
Yeah, with Jaden Daniels playing the way he's playing right now, anything is possible to play spoiler along the way. Their defense will not allow for them to be in the Super Bowl, but
yeah,
the Commanders and the Rams are going to be two teams that you're not going to want to see for sure. So looks like we got seven real contenders, and Bill Barnwell has an article of just like the Achilles heels for all of the each contending teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, will they be able to overcome it kind of deal? And, you know, you start with the Chiefs, and they looked really, really good. That's a good Texans defense.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to have a hobbled Mahomes. Didn't look that way. They bring back, finally, Hollywood Brown after he's been out all season, add a little bit more speed to the offense there. And they targeted him quite a bit, and obviously the DeAndre Hopkins trade has been nice for them. And then Xavier Worthy, they've been using him a little differently. You imagined him at the start of the year as just the, hey, just nine route this thing and we'll try and hit 50-yard bombs to you. That hasn't been the case. The explosiveness, the deep passing attack is the Achilles heel, according to Bill Barnwell, when it comes to the Chiefs. But with getting healthy at the right time, and I think they will become a little bit more explosive with Hollywood Brown now in there. They've learned how to use Xavier Worthy to sort of utilize his quickness and just get him in the screen game, help him to get some yak going. Like, they've developed that. Their screen game to the running backs and stuff. Without Pacheco, they're trying to have it to figure it out. You always know Travis Kelce's going to elevate his game once you get into the postseason as well. So I think they've been workshopping how to approach things offensively this year because they've dealt with so many injuries. Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, being two of the big ones there offensively. And then, of course, without Hollywood Brown all year, now you get him back. Pacheco's back. I don't think that they will be able to completely just solve their explosiveness problem, but I do think it'll get better. And I just think they're still a very well-rounded, despite all the issues they've had offensively, all of the advanced metrics have them in the top 5 to 8 in just like every offensive category. And again, Mahomes, Kelce, Andy Reid, they always elevate their game in the postseason. I think their offense is starting to get right at the right time, which is good because I don't think their defense is quite as dominant as it was last year. So all this talk about the Chiefs offense not being all that great and they're winning games by scoring 17 to 20 points, I think you're about to see that start to change a little bit.
Yeah, I think another thing you need to look at with the Chiefs real quick on this one is just three little nuggets coming from Next Gen. They're top five in unblocked quarterback pressures on blitzes each season under Steve Spagnuolo.
He's a beast.
So he creates free rushers. The second thing is they force a tight window throw, the sixth highest rate in the NFL. So they're kind of getting all over your receivers. They're making your quarterback have to work to get the ball to your receivers. And they've also, you know, we mentioned Jones, five of his sacks have all been from the edge. So they're not only playing him just at tackle, but they're putting him out on the outside, and that's where they seem to be. So to me, you look at the Chiefs, we talk about their offense. Their defense is what really kind of, in my opinion, keeps them in games and then allows their offense to kind of catch up.
Yes, yes, there's no doubt about it. And last year, especially on that postseason run, their defense was locked down. And their defense has been really, really good this year. But I don't like it's still top 10 good, but last year it was top 3 to 5 good.
Yeah.
But now, even again, with their offense being talked about having a down year and dealing with all sorts of different injuries and stuff, you still have the Chiefs offense being better from an expected points added metric this year. They're better than last year. And then the success rate stuff, they're better this year offensively than they were last year. And again, the Chiefs still went on to win the Super Bowl, and they had to do it on the road, and it's looking like they're going to get the bye and the home field advantage. Chiefs to the Super Bowl.
Well, Kelce, you talk about
I'm fully on board.
Yeah, but you talk about explosive plays. This has been really a down year for Kelce. I think he's averaging like around 3.5 yards of yak after receptions, and we've seen him have far, far more success doing that, and they're playing a ton of 12 personnel stuff. So, Mia, with tight ends and stuff, how many explosive plays are you really, really going to have in that personnel group? So they're kind of adapting. They're adapting to how they need to play right now. You know, with all the injuries they've dealt with.
Yeah, and what they've had to do is just lean on Mahomes on third down, and their third down conversion rate is just through the roof, ridiculous. And now I think they won't have to depend on that quite as much. Getting a little bit healthier at the right time. But when you look at how good they've been on third downs this season, it is, I mean, it's borderline, it's historical. The highest success rate on third and fourth down through the first 16 weeks of a season. You're talking about last year's Chiefs being number one, this year's Chiefs being number two over the last decade.
Yeah.
So like Mahomes and Andy Reid, third down, They know how to get it done.
Mahomes is averaging like 9 yards a scramble. You know, that's something that, you know, I mean, that's the seventh most in the league. when you look at it, I mean,
efficiency.
He's run 35 times. I'm just looking at the numbers. He's run 35 times this season for 319 yards, 2 touchdowns, 20 first downs. That's the 4th most in the NFL right now. His ability to run 9 yards a carry per scramble, it's the 7th most among quarterbacks with 10 or more scrambles this season. He punishes you running the football. 20 first downs, think about that. So that's he knows how to play the game, very, very smart in that way. Hey, listen, can't make a throw, going to scramble here, going to get a first down, going to get 9 yards on this carry. You know, that's pretty impressive. That's why they win the games they do.
And what's funny is, and I know the Bills beat the Chiefs, but when you look at the Bills' Achilles heel, Bill Barnwell says it's getting off the field on third down.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit recency bias here because through week 13, the Bills ranked 8th in the league in EPA per play and points allowed per possession on defense. Nobody seemed to be too concerned with what they had going on, but Buffalo ranks 31st in both metrics since then. And when it comes to the third down defense, Buffalo is allowing teams to convert more than 44% of their third downs into first downs, which is tied for the 3rd worst this season.
Oh, they're terrible. The Bills are terrible. They're last in the NFL when it comes to pressures. You know, when you talk about quarterbacks, when their defense has to face, when their quarterback, the opponents don't get pressure on them, they're last in the league. Teams are just killing them. They might bring pressure, and it's not getting home. They're last in the league when it comes to that metric. So yeah, it's been a tough go. They're bad in quick passing. They're bad in short passing. They're bad in passing with no blitz. They're okay in passing versus blitz, but when it comes to intermediate passing and stuff like that, they've had their struggles.
Yeah, it's been trying to get off the field on third down. I mean, the Patriots went 7 of 12 on third down, 2 for 2 on fourth down. And that's the Patriots. And over the past 3 games, 60% is what offenses are converting third downs into first downs versus the Bills. That's a problem. You see Mahomes in the playoffs, and you can't get off the field on third down, you don't stand a chance, dude.
Where the Bills are very good is they play really good run defense, and that you wonder if the good run defense is making the pass defense bad because teams just aren't running the ball. They're saying, no, we have a better chance of throwing it. Block the front. Throw the ball, you have a better chance of beating the Bills that way because their run defense is pretty solid. It's a top 10 run defense.
Shout out to Bills head coach Sean McDermott, though, because he was in the middle of a Zoom interview, and you remember the infamous 9/11 reference that he got called out for. Well, listen to this. He gets asked a question, and this is the way he responds to it. This is yesterday.
Let's see. About to use an airplane, a flying analogy, but I'll stay away from that. So no, just
come on, man.
You're not supposed to say that out loud, dog. Yeah. Just do another again.
What are you doing?
Oh my gosh, we know his wheelhouse, man. That is pretty funny stuff right there.
Can't help himself.
And then we have some Christmas football tomorrow. We referenced this yesterday, but here's the sound of Lamar Jackson apologizing in advance to his coach because in Houston tomorrow, Beyonce's the halftime show, and Lamar Jackson's going to be watching.
A little disappointing that she's going to be performing at a halftime show that you can't watch.
Nah, because I'm going to go out there and watch. Go out there and watch, man. My first time seeing Beyonce perform, and it's at our game. That's dope. I'm going to go out and watch. Sorry, Harbaugh. Sorry. Sorry, fellas.
Depends how big your lead is, if you guys have one.
Nah, man, I'm not even thinking about the lead. I was just thinking about just seeing Beyonce for the first time.
So he might be a little bit distracted there. Hopefully,
hey, you
for
go
the
out
Ravens
warm up early.
Yeah,
just gotta
yeah,
get,
there you go.
Go to the men's room, catch an adjustment, and then go out and warm up. Just go and stand there and warm up while she's performing.
I love it. All right, Lucius shaking his head there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what catch that adjustment was in the men's room. I don't know what's going on with my man right there.
Man, I'm sorry about that.
Well, let's go ahead and on that note, we'll
there's some adjusting going on there. Especially when you're standing in our men's room here. You got to adjust your feet.
Christmas Eve. You sure do, bro.
LA Live.
Yeah. Hey, so how are we doing with the athletes whose names connote Christmas?
Yeah, Johnny Jolly was the last name texted Johnny in. I'm giving it a ding. Thank you, 469.
Okay. I wrote some down here where you guys were talking football. Meta World Peace.
Lucius came to play today. I don't like this.
I got a few. I'm not going to give them all up because we still have another hour.
He said he was going to wake up at about 4 o'clock.
I told you. Kelvin Joseph. Joseph, man.
Oh, man.
Good call.
Joseph. With that said, Joseph Randall. You know what? I wrote them both down. Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, geez.
All right, I'm going to leave it alone. I got a few more.
Put off your mic, Lucius.
Yeah, you're on a heater right now.
I got a few more. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday Christmas Eve edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
Rick James will 100% be playing in snow right now if he was alive. I promise you.
It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Story about the woman who testified for years that, you know, I don't have no husband, I don't need no man in my life, and just me and Jesus, and 3 o'clock in the morning, a house caught on fire, and the fella ran out the back door, and somebody said, uh-oh, back go Jesus.
Very good.
Yeah, baby, this is LA Live for Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday Christmas Eve vibes here in LA Live. Happy holidays, people. Happy holidays. We made it. Be careful out there. It is a Toxic Tuesday. And I have some toxic things lined up because there's a whole lot of toxic stuff going on out here in our world. But I pulled the reverse. That's probably not the vibes to give them on a Christmas Eve. You don't give them something toxic.
I hear you.
Give them something to laugh at. Something they can enjoy. So I pulled that up. By the way, before I tell you what I did, some Exodus movies that don't get enough props. I was thinking about too when you guys were doing your football thing.
Yeah.
Long Kiss Goodnight. The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Okay.
That is a Christmas movie. Chef kiss to that. The Gremlins. Ooh. Gremlins is a Gremlins. Christmas movie.
Christmas movie.
Because, I mean, the Mugwai was a Christmas gift.
Mm, true.
So, chef's kiss to that. Batman Returns, I don't know how, you know, I don't know where we rank it in the Batmans, but it's definitely a Christmas movie.
I trust you guys on that.
Is that Poison Ivy?
That's the Cobblepot. Oswald Cobblepot, the penguin.
Oh, that's the penguin.
Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito.
That was really good. Yes. Like when they throw him the fish when he's making the speech. He just starts.
And I'm not sure, but is Goodfellas a Christmas movie? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. There was definitely a Christmas scene in there.
There was some, like, they were talking about the Lufthansa robbery and stuff like that. And they were,
And
there's a lot of Christmas music in.
I think the bar was decorated like Christmas theme.
Yes, it was.
I think you're right.
Yes, it was. I'm not for sure if I'm right, but I know there's definitely Christmas scenes in it. Someone would argue with you if it's a Christmas movie. Well, actually.
Why argue?
Man, I'm not going to give you any toxic stuff here on a Toxic Tuesday, but I do have some stuff lined up for you. God bless the soul of my dear mother.
Uh-oh.
God bless her. I used to stop by her house and visit, and she was one of the early adapters of YouTube. She used to watch like concerts and performances and stuff on there.
She gets it.
She gets it. She used to watch a lot of Jackson 5 stuff from TV back in the 70s.
'72, '73.
So I would pull up on mom, and she had that YouTube out, and I say, let's do some news bloopers. And we'd watch news bloopers and cry laughing for hours, it felt like.
That's amazing, dude.
For hours, it felt like.
That's a rabbit hole that you could literally spend all day watching.
100%. I'm talking about we're laughing and coughing. That type of laughing, you know what I mean?
You could hear Newy Scruggs in the background.
Yeah. So I got some holiday news bloopers for you guys here to ride home with on a Christmas Eve. But first, let's get to the G-Bag of the Day. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. That is L-U-C-I-O-U-S. Yes, that's my name. You can follow us all at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. A winner right here comes from the ESPN alternative broadcast of Tennessee and Ohio State college football game. Pat Mack's crew. What are they talking about here, man?
You boys are down there in front of the Tennessee fans. There has to be a lot of regret coming from down there.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. I honestly am starting to feel bad for some of them, and the worst part is Thick Nut, a.k.a. Slim Nut, is busting his all over their face because he partying in front of them right now.
Yeah, anytime a nut goes wild,
what the hell?
Things get crazy.
What are we talking about?
Pat just go double down, steady. Yeah,
I mean, a good catch by him too.
Yeah,
he always has his guys back there.
He always does. Always has his guys.
Just rolls with it. Did you see his Saturday game day talking about South Carolina Gamecocks and being the mayor?
No,
of Gamecock Town, but he wasn't saying game.
I'm scared of that.
It was unbelievable.
I'm scared of that.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, like didn't he hold up? He held up like the mascot, didn't he? It was this the one you were talking because. He was there in South Carolina, and he, like, held it up and was, like, doing all kinds of...
He was having himself a good time.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Batman Returns, Mr. Freeze. Which one is the Penguin? Is that 3, 4? You know what? You're doing too many of them.
I trust you guys in these things. I just say yes.
Shoot, man.
Yeah, Batman Returns was Clooney and Arnold as the Mr. Freeze. I think Poison Ivy, Uma Thurman is also in that one.
Oh, that's the one we, like, totally skipped over. We went to...
Everybody panned it, but yeah. I was young enough to like appreciate it because I didn't know any better.
Catwoman was a good one.
Amen.
Catwoman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a line from that movie I wish I could repeat right now. So amazing. Probably could with the right context, but yeah. I can't do it. All right, let's get into a little news bloopers here while we got some time.
Yes.
You guys probably heard this one. Total unfortunate mistake by this guy. Let's go to ABC7. The Nutcracker, I believe it's called.
The Nutcracker performances are tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. The old Nutcracker.
The old Nutcracker. Someone says here on the Twitch, no, Batman Returns was Penguin and Catwoman. Thank you.
I mean, okay, goodness gracious.
Here we go. Yes.
I told you, bro. Yeah. Well, actually.
We can't agree on anything.
Well, actually, guys.
Yeah, Batman, they're right. I finally Googled it. That's Pfeiffer and Keaton and DeVito and Walken.
That's the good one.
That one's amazing.
Yeah, they should have shelved that Arnold Schwarzenegger one. Mm. I don't like saying that guy's last name on the microphone.
I like to just go Arnold with that one.
Arnold. Governor.
God, man. Let's go to Jolly Saint Nick. I believe that's what they want to say here.
You know, that they've seen Jolly Saint Lick, or that they've seen Jolly Saint Nick.
Jolly Saint Lick. Hey. Hey. Batman Forever was Two-Face in the... Oh, my God! Can we stop it?
I think we're trolling us now. I think they're trolling us.
Oh, my God! Which one is it? Huh?
Yeah. You're looking it up there, Chief.
Batman Forever.
It's hilarious.
That was. That's the Jim Carrey Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones. Val
Two-Face
Kilmer.
Is great.
Val Kilmer was Batman.
R.I.P. Is he on? He's gone. He's like, he's in the bosom of the Lord right now, right?
Val Kilmer?
He was sick.
He has throat issues. Let me see if he's still with us.
I don't want to kill Val.
No. I think he's got the...
He's still with us.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, yeah. Val Kilmer.
It's a Christmas miracle. ABC 6 Philly. There's a reporter at the post office seeing who's sending Christmas gifts off.
Are you mailing a Christmas gift?
No.
No. Say yes anyhow for camera.
I'm Jewish. I celebrate Hanukkah.
Are you mailing a Hanukkah gift?
No, because it's over.
Okay, Hanukkah is over, so...
He can't get it. He's just trying to do content, you know?
Ouch.
Just trying to get content here, yeah.
Ouch. New Year's superstitions. You guys have any New Year's superstitions?
I have superstitions to begin with.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday will definitely be a superstitious question for the Tolos, if you guys are hearing that. I'm not sure.
Lucius, are you with us next Wednesday?
Hey, I'll be here.
Black Eyed Peas, I'll bring them.
Yeah, yeah. I got to have the Black Eyed Peas for good luck.
There you go.
What else is there?
This one right here I never heard of. Let's go to Fox 44, New Year's superstitions.
Are you have anything you want to get done before the end of the year?
And you know, they say wash those clothes, you know, make greens and cabbage and black-eyed peas, you know. Just clean up, you know. Start the new year fresh.
Start the new year fresh.
I never heard about that one.
Which one?
About washing clothes before the new year.
They say you want to, one, you don't want to wash on New Year's because it will wash away a family member. And then, what I also heard,
Wow. Okay.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
The older gentleman just not holding up well.
Poor guy.
He was really tickled by that.
Poor guy. Yeah, I didn't know you're not supposed to wash clothes on New Year's Eve because you'll wash away a family member or something like that.
Wow.
That's going to put people in the laundry room, honestly, across the country.
Come on, man. Yeah. Which one? Oh, they played the wrong clip. I'm not going to do that one yet. Good day, Sacramento. They're dealing with rain like we are here in the DFW right now. This is this report.
One thing I wanted to point out this morning, visibility down to a quarter of a mile in the Fairfield area. So if you're heading out to perhaps catch a flight in San Francisco, you run into a little bit of visibility issues. Mm. All right. I'm sorry, Ashley.
That's okay.
It feels like disability, though, driving.
It does.
Driving in today was a little tough.
Today was really tough coming up from Frisco because going out there, I was going to with the Cowboys, and it was raining. And then coming back, it was heading this way, and it was worse. So, yeah, there was a lot of coming down the tollway, though, that dips and things, a lot of water.
Yeah, it was kind of, I couldn't see anything.
Yeah, it was hard.
And I still haven't changed that windshield wiper like I should.
Oh. You talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man, I know. It sure was tough. I tell you what.
Hey, pops. Pops.
It doesn't pop. Pops. It's just like somebody just rubbing hand across my window.
Yeah, pops.
Smearing.
Pops, when's the last time you changed a windshield wiper?
Yeah. 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 And I forgot to turn on the defrost.
Oh.
I drove all the way over here like, why is it so darn foggy in here? Then I get off the highway. It's like, oh, right there. Boom. Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh. What's wrong with me, man?
When those 18-wheelers come by and there's a bunch of water and it comes all over the windshield.
It just covers
you're like, crap, I got to crank this thing up more because I can't see anything right now.
Yeah. You guys shipping off anything for Christmas? Did you ship off anything to relatives or friends that are on the other side of the map?
No ship-offs.
Okay.
Well, the U.S. Postal Service wants you to make your holiday shipping experience a little bit easier this December.
Trying to help you out. He
caught himself.
Did you guys see that there was a bear that was caught on camera assaulting a Rudolph decoration?
Oh, yeah, the yard decoration.
Really, really big decoration. Yeah. People in my neighborhood have some huge blow-up decorations.
Right,
this is like a real big, huge blow-up decoration. Darn bears over there went up and got busy with it.
Yeah.
Tow it up. Beat it up. Started playing around with it.
Carried into the woods, didn't
they? I mean, tow the darn thing up.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
A bear in California, he had a special attraction to a 6-foot reindeer. For some reason, just couldn't keep his paws off it.
Bears are on the prowl. A homeowner said she could hear the nylon fabric rustling as the bear tried to put the blow-up reindeer in a chokehold. And once it did, it took it down to the ground, nuzzled its face a little bit, because you have to be tender, right?
Of course. A good bear is always nuzzling.
Huh?
What?
What?
A good, were we still talking about a bear?
I don't think he is.
Good bear.
And then it began whipping its head around like a rag doll.
Like back and forth. Just check it out. The bear why does it say slapping it on the bottom and then trying to take a bite out of the leg before going into full beast mode? Get us off TV.
I paused right there because I was like, okay, are we still talking about a bear? You talking about nuzzling up and cuddling up with a bear?
Yeah.
So then I went to the rest of this little clip. And then he definitely made me figure out what he was talking about here.
Rudolph's nose not the only thing red. The homeowner says this is not her first encounter with a bear living near the mountains in California. One time she had a bear inside her home, scratched up the place, and left paw prints in her bed.
I have more questions about that encounter with a bear. Was it a human bear?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So many questions. The magic of Christmas, boys and girls.
Human bear.
That guy wouldn't give it up, though.
No. He want to get that joke off, man.
He's trying to get it in there.
He want to get that joke off. There's a porta potty that went viral in a neighborhood in Toledo. There's a guy getting work on his pool in the backyard. And so the people doing the construction, they need somewhere to pump and dump. Right. So they put a porta potty in the front yard, right?
Right.
Well, it's Christmas time, and the neighbor's getting upset, like, man, you're gonna make us look ugly around here. You got a porta potty sitting in the front yard. We didn't spend all this money on Christmas lights.
Yeah, I don't imagine this is one of the porta johns that are at training camp that Jerry Jones.
This is your classic
one with the blue and the toilet.
Exactly what it is.
I'm going to get through this without laughing this time. So in Toledo, we had the Christmas weed, and in Arizona, they have the Christmas porta potty. You heard that right. The families in one neighborhood went all out, but not to decorate their houses. No.
Outhouses.
Yes. Right. So instead, they decorated a 7.5-foot tall porta potty. One neighbor was having a pool built in his yard and put the bathroom out on the street. Makes sense.
Said that author.
Other neighbors worried the eyesore would kill the Christmas vibe. So guess what? They came together and they decorated that porta potty.
Not only will Santa spot our house better, but it'll also give him a little bit of a reprieve, I think, in his long journey on Christmas Eve.
What, just wrap it in Christmas lights or something?
Put some Christmas lights on it, a wreath.
Put a wreath on it.
Yeah. You can do some good things to that.
Speaking of decorations and whatnot, this is a classic right here. Action News in Atlanta. Action 2 News. You've seen that inflatable Clark Griswold? He looks like he's hanging from your house as he's putting up the lights and whatnot.
The lights.
Yeah, and look like he's having a hard time.
Right.
Bad situation.
Yes, I have seen this.
Okay, well, one of the people that was driving by seen this decoration and thought it was a real man. Decided to get out of his car and tried to help.
Oh, no.
And he was kind of panicky a little bit.
A family's Christmas decorations nearly caused one man a heart attack.
Please hold on. Alright. Can you reach it?
The man in Austin, Texas thought this dummy was a real person. Nest cam video shows the man rush over, grab a ladder, and call for help. He even called 911. The family put up the dummy to pay homage to a Christmas scene from a movie right there.
The Griswolds,
you know, Christmas Vacation. And they are trying to find the man to give him a gift because they say his heart was in the right place. Now, he felt it.
Oh, no.
He said, can you reach it? Can you reach it?
Yeah, you could hear the panic in his voice there.
Yeah.
He was coming to be the Good Samaritan, saving the day. He got ball sacked.
Oh, man, I'm up against it. But let me see here what I got. Turkey nuggets. Purdue Farms. Ooh. They were selling turkey nuggets this season. I didn't see it.
No.
I didn't see it, but WBAL has a story about it.
Starting today, you can order them for about $19 a bag, Ava. Listen, you have choices, too. Dark turkey meat and cranberry, or breast meat as well.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring myself together.
Ava's a big
fan. What's so funny? I think it's brilliant.
So does she. Can't you tell? Hey, listen, even like if you go by McDonald's and other places, nuggets, it's hard to deny, you know? They're good anytime. Ava, come on.
Please explain what Susan said.
I don't know if I can say that on television. Thank you very much. So we're going to keep talking about...
That's good for kids, though, right?
She's alluding to the nuggets being another part of the turkey.
Okay.
Jeez.
Happy Friday, everybody.
His balls.
Lacey, your kids love chicken nuggets, correct?
I think most kids would say thumbs up to that.
I'm scared to go back to Ava, but we have to do weather at some point.
That's because in Colorado, we have something called Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Okay, all right.
The veteran news lady had enough.
I got fooled on the fan text like 5 years ago about Rocky Mountain Oysters. I was not familiar.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know what they were. I was like, okay. What?
Calf fries.
I'm very familiar now. Never tried them. You guys ever tried?
Never have.
Calf fries?
Never have.
It's like they have like calf fry testicles. Testicles. Uh-huh. Goodness gracious.
That's what they are. You nailed it.
Misspeak.
What?
Let's keep it in the Pim Cup, please. Calf fry festivals is what I meant to say, not testicles.
Okay.
I was going somewhere with that.
Speaking
the testicle festival.
Speaking of testicles, my dog is in heat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's a female dog. She's in heat. And she keeps trying to practice with my other dog, who's a girl, too.
Oh.
And she's down for it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so my dog is LGBT quad. Hey. All right, Cleo, I'll see you coming on out. All right, I'll be black whenever. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. It'll probably be Monday. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I holla. Peace.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Christmas Eve edition of LA Live. And then we go right into a TD Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, the best touchdowns from the NFL and college football weekend next here in the nation.